Can you run real fast? Can you hear your heart beating? Wow. It's a way to get around is exercising and sweating and losing weight. Man, tough work, right? My body feels so good when I move. Yeah. Oh, it's almost addictive. There are days when standing still just makes me think slow, live slow, and really, I just lose all interest in life. Sitting on the couch watching TV kind of pulls you into a state of mind that might not necessarily be yours. Hey, everybody. It's me, Patricia Cleveland, and this is Easologic Radio. So glad that you've tuned in today. We're actually going to talk about how we can look after our bodies a little bit better and connect them to what we are and what's around us, which are natural resources to help us become, maybe enlightened, maybe lighter. I don't know. What is it that you need in your life? I'm not really here to diagnose or, you know, tell you from a medical perspective really what's going on. I'm just going to ask you to take in the information and follow it if it's your heart desire. Today, I've been sitting here listening to the stories that the farmers that produce the hay for our farm have been telling us. There's a lot of concern out there. Farmers don't quite know what to do. They're being told by the seed companies that there's a new line of genetically modified seed coming out. And the farmers are really stuck in a hard spot because if they don't plant the seed, they can't grow anything. They can't grow anything. They can't sell it. And if they don't sell it, it doesn't go to the grocery store and you don't get to eat it. Now, that's quite a chain of events that have to happen. Why the farmers are getting upset is they're stuck in playing the role of the not-so-healthy food provider, and they don't want to be put in that role. But big corporations are putting the pressure on, telling them what to do, when they can plant, what they can plant, what they can't plant. And the herbicides and pesticides and fertilizers that they're going to have to use on their soil. So the freedom of planting and growing the food that you want to grow, the food that you can take pride in producing, that freedom, like everything else in our world, is disappearing. When you go to the grocery store and you pick up that cob of corn, do you know that it's genetically modified corn? Or is it not genetically modified corn? And really, if you're not aware of it, what does genetically modified food do for you or not do for you? These are questions that I have had to really look at, because genetically modified food is also in the realm of what we feed our animals. You wouldn't really think that, but it is. And it does play a direct role in how our animals react, both to their environment and to their state of health. And what we do to our animals, we're actually doing to ourselves. So I thought I'd take some time today and share with you some of the discoveries that I have found while doing the Balanced Horse Project. Working with farmers and trying to grow organic food has become a really important part of our lives here at the farm. We've actually learned that we can live healthier with fewer problems. When we get injured, we heal faster. And if we actually change the environment of sound and magnetic fields, the next thing you know, we don't get sick at all. And we think clearer. And our interactions are actually easier between people who eat healthy food. And I've noticed the same thing with our animals. When we took them off all the artificial, processed, sugar-based food that you can get from the feed store, from the pet store, well, guess what? The frantic activity of the animal actually goes away. Now, the horses that came into the farm here, they were scared of people. They were tired of being hurt. They didn't like having needles put in their bodies and injected with drugs. And when they came here, they just really didn't quite know what to do. I actually watched horses go through withdrawal symptoms, almost like a drug addict. They would start to have temper tantrums and shake, and they'd have these palpitations of their heart, and they would go into depression. Some of them would sweat. Some of them just basically walked to the corner of their stall and would put their head in the corner. They couldn't cope. Because here we don't feed sugar. There's no molasses and there's no corn. And so their bodies, coming from the regular lifestyle, actually became addicted to the sugar and the corn and all the other artificial things that were put in the feed. And once these animals go through this detoxification process, what happens is they start to get better. Their problems, their lameness, their state of disease actually starts to neutralize. They start to heal. Now, in other environments where people have tried our techniques, it hasn't worked as well because they have a problem with what they're feeding their animals. And so when I have a chance, I drive out to the farms that produce the hay and the grain for the animals here at the project. And then I talk to them, and I want to know, are you producing feed that is not genetically modified? And a lot of them are trying to say yes. And the ones that say, look, I'm stuck in the box and I have to do what I have to do, I honor that. But I will go and find somebody who is doing good farming, good food production, without using genetically modified seed. Now you say, well, what's genetically modified food? Well, it was actually created, I believe, in the late 1960s, going into 1970s, and it's seed. It could be corn seed, soya bean. It goes on. There's several different everyday common grains that we eat that have been modified to hold the genetic signature, or to have the ability to be sprayed with a very toxic chemical called Roundup. And a lot of people have heard about Roundup. You may use it to keep the weeds down in your grass. It kills everything that it comes in contact with. It's very toxic. The outcome is, for farmers to produce food, they have to spray the fields so that the grass or the weed or whatever's not supposed to be there doesn't grow. So they started using this genetically modified seed because you can spray it with Roundup and the plant will survive because the Roundup signature of glycol phosphate is actually introduced into the plant. Now, that's kind of a scary thought. Herbicide is introduced to the genetic coating of the plant that grows your corn or your soya bean. And you're going to eat that. Okay, so maybe it's safe. We can assume it's safe. What happens in the long term is that these products are showing to not be a financial benefit to the farmer. because now he's growing weeds that are, or he's growing, yeah, he's growing weeds for sure. He's growing weeds that are becoming resistant to the Roundup. And so he's still having to spend a lot of money to still get rid of the weeds. He's not producing any more food than he was before. And yet he was told he would. And the quality of the food has actually come under some very, very serious questioning. And the reason is this. When you start to use genetically modified crops, the Roundup, the way the Roundup chemical works is it makes like a shield, a protective barrier around all the positive charged minerals in the soil. Now, you wouldn't really think that was too important, but animals eat grass because it is filled with alkalining minerals. It kind of balances the stomach. It helps the pH level of the body work better. And when that happens, your state of disease goes down. The functioning of your body increases. Your mind clears. Bacteria can't live and grow. And fungus has a hard time holding its space in your body. So when you're working with genetically modified food, you don't have the ability to introduce minerals who you are to help balance the energy processing that you should be able to do as a living, walking battery. So as these minerals are depleted from our food source, we start to become hungry. We crave these minerals, but they're not there. And so we go and we ask for second helpings, or we will just shut our minds off and disconnect them from the body the way we've been programmed, desensitized, not to really listen to what our body is telling our brain. All these things can happen just because of the food we are asked to eat. I'm going to take a little break here, and I'll be back in a few minutes. This is Patricia Cleveland in Esologic Radio. I'll talk to you soon. Hey, guess what? I'm back. Did you get a drink? Did you go to the fridge? Are you listening and thinking about what I'm telling you about genetically modified food? As an energy worker, as a person that works in energetic fields and asks the body on a cellular level to shift and change, what I eat is really important. What you eat is really important. Because it has a direct relationship, how we fit in to the harmonic grid. Now, if you do meditation, you'll understand that you have all the chakra points in your body. And you have your major cord, which is your Hara line, that goes from your head down to the earth. What happens if you don't have the right mineral connections in your body to take the power surge from the sun, from the center of the universe, and run it through your cell structure and hold who you are in the physical form as a healthy, functioning, whole being? It may have a pretty significant role. You see, medicine and science want to talk to us about the biochemistry and the food that we eat and the water that we drink. And all those things are really, really important. But the perspective that they offer us is totally excluding the fact that we are little units, little people, little batteries, little radio receivers and transmitters that live in an energy grid. And geez, the planet is an energy grid. We're surrounded by all types of frequencies. That's easily decided because we hear sound and we see color and we smell things. So all of this stuff is around us, but our day-to-day science actually eliminates it from the formulas that they use to decide what is good for us or what is not good for us. So I've taken and I've stepped away from that. And I've said, okay, the food that the animals at the farm eat, the food that the people at the farm eat, is just as important as everything else. Because food, in its own right, is a healing agent. Can't say that it's a healing agent of anything specific, because then the FDA would say it was a drug and we'd all have to have prescriptions to go to the grocery store. Oh, excuse my slant on the world. But genetically modified food actually is not a healthy thing. It takes us away from our minerals, and it takes our animals away from being balanced. If your dog has dry skin or is fat and you can't seem to solve the problem, maybe you should start looking at what's in your animal's food. A lot of pet food is not meat-based. It's actually based grain. You ever go and look and read the back of the dog food bag. Read what's in your cat food. If it has corn in it, you're feeding your animal genetically modified food. If it has a list of grains and you're feeding your dog vegetables and grains with very little meat, then does that actually harmonize with the system that he lives in, that he's designed to work in? Dogs are designed to be acidic. Their bloodstream, their energy corridor is more acidic than a human's. So they're designed to take on the burden of eating raw meat and raw bones. And when they are allowed to do that, their true resonant value, their state of health, their ability to actually process the information from this environment we live in, is returned closer to the natural origins of the dog. The same for the cat. We have all these artificial ingredients. We have all these special things done to improve the diet of the animal or to improve the diet of the human, to offer us health and longevity. But when we get down to the core base issue of the food that we are producing from the farm to your fridge, there's a big gap. Now, when I talk to the farmers, they're talking about this new seed that comes out, and it's called a Terminator seed. Now, those seeds are the ones that we really have to stand up and say, what are you thinking? The Terminator seed, it grows a plant. And it might produce seed, but the seed will be sterile, and it will never produce another plant. So if we have plants that normally produce seed, one generation after another, and they're healthy, and they can survive in the environment they're supposed to grow in, why are we genetically modifying all these plants? Why is it so important to genetically modify corn or soybean and say, hey, we're going to take this and feed it to people, even though the science shows that it's a detriment to our health? and really starts to ask or bring forward some pretty tough questions. And when you go to the doctor and he hands you your prescription drug, what is he actually trying to do? Well, in chemical medicine, we're going to influence the balance in your body. And they'll balance one process, one chemical. Maybe they'll try to balance your blood or your heart or your kidneys by giving you a drug. But if the food you were eating or the environment you were living in was balanced, would you actually have to use the drug? Well, maybe you would. I don't know. But it really asks me to bring forward the question of why can't we use natural things to balance the body and avoid some of the catastrophic dysfunctions and disease that are available in our daily lives. It's like right now, cancer seems to be the one that fits the need. But what if we didn't have to have cancer? What if we didn't have to have all the things that the medical system says we need to treat? Genetically modified food is one of the issues I would love to get rid of on the planet. If we could have natural food that resonates with the value of our bodies, then we could come higher, elevated, complete, whole beings, able to work within the energy fields that we are shut down from, turned off of. There are people that can't feel energy. They can't see it. They don't understand it's there. And then there are people who can. Well, for the people who can, we're being asked to discharge our bodies when we eat food that's discharged. When we take a lot of pharmaceuticals that are not natural, they're not healing food or healing herbs, they discharge our body. And that discharge tends to take us off grid, offline, because we can't stay in that frequency and our body stay healthy. Genetically modified food, Terminator seed, that could lead to world starvation, don't you think? If we had a major catastrophic event and the plants can't reproduce, what do we do? Where do we go? And what do we eat? The farmers are in a really bad place because the farmer who doesn't grow the genetically modified seed, he doesn't have genetically modified corn. He might go into his barn and pull out his grandfather's seed stock and grow it because they know that strain of corn might be really sweet and tasty, a good thing for people to eat. And he plants his corn. And the neighbor across the way has genetically modified seed growing. Oh my gosh, are you ready for this? The bee may go over and take the pollen from the genetically modified corn and fly over to the next field and take the pollen and pollinate the corn that's not genetically modified. What happens? Well, Monsanto, who's owned by, I believe, Pfizer, these big companies check on the corn that's being produced and handed in at the feed mill. And if you didn't have a license to grow genetically modified corn, but the corn kernel on that corn, the cob corn, actually has the signature of a genetically modified seed, you are now in possession of stolen goods. And you can be sued for stealing somebody else's genetic material, even though you didn't have anything to do with it. It was an act of nature. And the bees did all the stealing for you. So now, even though you didn't plant the genetically modified corn, you're producing it. Doesn't make your head spin? And farmers have literally been taken to court and lost the court cases because of an act of nature. So it's hard to grow good food. It's hard to stay away from being involved with the genetically modified species. Some of the farmers are switching over to growing sorghum. Sorghum is a really hardy plant. It grows on land that you have a hard time growing corn on. You can use it as what we call silage, which is really rich feed, and it's good to feed our cattle and our pigs, our horses and our chickens, because it actually is not a genetically modified plant. They haven't got that far. But I don't know if people can eat a lot of sorghum. It would be interesting to find out if what sorghum does for people in our diets. But the good thing is, the farmers who have decided not to grow genetically modified crops are growing sorghum, and they're feeding that to the cows. And that's important, because you see, the beef cattle that are in the feedlots that eat the genetically modified corn and all the other grains that are kind of altered, well, they take on that genetic marker of the herbicide, Roundup. They take it into their systems. And that gets into the cells of the meat and the fat. And when you take and you cook your steak and you don't know where that cow came from or what it was eating, the likelihood of you consuming the genetic marker for GMO foods will be found in your meat. Pigs, chicken, cattle, fish are all fed corn. I would say 90% of the corn, if not 100% at this point, in the United States is genetically modified. Go to the grocery store, take a look at the ingredients. How many boxes are you going to put down when you see the word corn or soya bean? These are our primary sources of carbohydrates, protein in our bodies, and we go to these simple food sources every day to survive. But there's no marking on the box to tell you that it's genetically modified food. And most people don't realize that, I think it was in 1996, 1997, one third of all processed food in your grocery store was genetically modified. Now, I'll bet you it's much more than that. And there's no labeling to tell you that you're about to feed your children something that eventually is going to be a direct result of disease. So, when you feed something, eat something, you might want to pay attention. Now, I'm talking about disease and resonant value of energy and how the body can't work because it's a conductor and it's out of balance without the positive charged minerals coming from the soil. Now, we can put minerals in our bodies with supplements, and that's good. But even when we do that, we're still carrying the genetic marker for Roundup in our body. Because you see, the people that eat meat are eating beef, that's eating corn, that's genetically modified. And we know that that marker comes all the way through the cows because they can find Roundup in the manure piles when they clean out the stockyards. That's pretty scary. So you're eating a toxic animal with no labeling You're taking it home. It doesn't have the energy value, the value of the minerals, to cause the conductive quality of who you are to resonate at a signature that matches the environment that you live in. And this creates a buildup of acid in the body. It creates pockets of heat, energetic heat. And this leads to a breakdown of our system. And our immune system just goes, what the heck? What am I supposed to do? I don't know how to fight off all this trapped energy. I don't know how to disassemble all these pockets of toxic waste. And these areas start to grow things that we really don't need. And this is a very simple outline of why our bodies start into a state of disease. So your pH level in your body is really important. To also know your food sources is very important, because next thing you know, we're going to have mutant humans. Humans who can't resonate in the environment that they originated from. And actually, I think that's a conversation that I'm going to address after this break that's coming up. But for right now, just think about what you're eating. And is there anything that we can do? Well, maybe there's a way of putting pressure on the grocery stores. Because you see, they're a very powerful money corporate entity in themselves. The farmers would like help because they're out there trying to figure out really what to do. There is no escape for them. They are in a trap, and it's a corporate trap. And I don't like getting into all the political business side of it, but when it comes into your house and it goes on your plate, I think there's something that needs to be said. So I don't know. You might want to think about this. If you're an energetic person, really think about this. And if you're a person with a state of disease, sit down and do some research and think about how you can change what you're putting on your plate. I'll be back in a few minutes. This is Patricia Cleveland and Esologic Radio. I'll talk to you soon. I'll be back.
It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to everyone eventually.
I'm back. Ah, man. It's just amazing. You start reading all this research. You just find all these interesting hidden little tidbits. History is full of them. Science is full of them. And you never know what's coming up the driveway next. This is Patricia Cleveland and Esologic Radio. We're talking about genetically modified food today and really some of the hidden little tricks that we don't know about as consumers. We really don't know about it as animal owners, and we sometimes aren't aware of it as people that are energetic. So some of the crops that you may really want to pay attention to are really soybean. They're there. And corn is another really amazingly common one. But do you know that they put genetically modified markers in the cotton, the stuff that you wear, the clothes? Oh my gosh. And there are people in India who actually, you know, the farmers, they're out there and they're working with the cotton seed. And they don't have a lot of equipment like we have here in the United States. So they do a lot of their farming manually. And with the introduction of genetically modified cotton, these people started to break out with these skin lesions. And they started to produce these amazing allergies to just unknown things. And this all started to happen with the introduction of genetically modified cotton. The next thing you know, we have people here in the United States that have amazing amounts of allergy problems. And we have dogs who suddenly have allergy problems, and cats. And trust me, folks, it happens with horses too. And so you start looking at the list of things that are genetically modified. And we have genetically modified soya and corn and canola oil and cotton, sugar beets, and alfalfa. So if you feed little green pellets to your gerbil, your mouse, or your guinea pig, the odds are it's genetically modified alfalfa. And what actually happens is when you feed these things, it's so acidic and it carries this Roundup marker that the body starts to fight it off. And it can't get the acid level of the body knocked down enough. And we start to see animals that produce lesions and ulcers in the lower part of their gut. And that gets really scary because the stomach, the digestive tract, actually works its best when it can have things go in, digest, and go out. It shouldn't actually have holes in it to allow chemicals and bacteria, protozoa, which are little animals that live in our guts, okay, to actually get into our bloodstream. And when that happens, we start to see other problems happening in the welfare of our animals. Now, there's a disease in horses that's called EPM. And there's a lot of speculation and scientific evidence that would suggest that multiple sclerosis, lupus, chronic fatigue, and I would actually venture to say people who are hyperactive have an invasion, a state of disease that may be caused from the lesions either in the stomach or in the intestinal tract. These states of disease are what we call autoimmune. It means that the body starts fighting itself because it really doesn't know what the state of disease actually is. We have this disease in horses. It's called EPM, equine myelitis, E for equine, P for protozoa, M for myelitis. Myelitis is the insulation that goes up and wraps around the nerves, and those nerves tie into your spinal column. And unfortunately, when animals get this disease, the protozoa, which is a natural resident of your digestive tract, actually travels up and goes into your bloodstream through the hole in your stomach and gets in your bloodstream and moves over to the ends of nerves in muscles. Fibromyalgia? Does that ring a bell? Burning, itching, pain, and you get tired. Well, horses go through this, and it may take maybe 2 years, 3 years, they may have it before it actually starts to show some really major symptoms. The horses will be painful, and the rider or the trainer may not know what's going on. And this may happen on and off for a long time. Unless they shut down the hole in the animal's digestive tract, the infection of the disease or the protozoa will continue to get into the blood. But we don't really do that. We try to treat the symptom of the dysfunction. And without understanding that the food that you're feeding the animal is constantly producing a state of acid, which is constantly irritating the hole in the digestive tract, we are just creating a vicious circle. And eventually the animal system deteriorates and it goes into a state of decline, paralysis in a lot of cases, and death. Now, I'm not suggesting that genetically modified food is the source of all evil, but it is definitely a major contributor. And without knowing how it actually impacts the body, we, the people who are responsible for our bodies, are being denied the ability to actually look after ourselves. So if you take the time to do the research, don't take my word for it, just take the time and do the research, you will discover that genetically modified food has demonstrated its ability to block the reproductive systems of third generation animals in the livestock business, which means that they're having a hard time getting the dairy cows to have calves, the beef cattle to have babies, the pigs aren't reproducing, and they have to go and use artificial insemination. If you have fertility problems, you might want to actually look at what you're eating. Remember, all of these different substances play a direct role in discharging or recharging your body. The good thing about genetically modified food and a limited reproduction response is the farmers have discovered that if you take and remove the genetically modified feed from the animal, usually within one gestation cycle, the reproductive process starts to engage and heal itself. Now, you'll be standing back and going, this is just all too much to absorb. And I guess it maybe is. But one thing is for sure, the farmers are caught in the middle because the FDA is totally aware of what's in your genetically modified food. And they're totally aware they didn't do the right safety studies before they put it into the grocery stores. And the federal vet of the United States is totally aware that the genetically modified foods are producing really terrible states of health in our animals. So, I don't know where this is all going to lead, but if we don't start talking about it, we're going to disengage ourselves completely from the energy circuits that hold us together and keep us healthy. So go and talk to the people at the grocery store. Or if you have a chance, drive out into the country and find somebody who grows your organic feed, food, and substances so that you will have a healthier food source to keep disease from knocking on your door. If you look after your body, keep it so that it's not biochemically balanced, but energetically balanced, you will find that your life will get easier. Your aches and pains will start to melt away. And the way that you're able to enjoy your life, your connection with other people, and when you sit down to meditate and to connect with the higher self, the little noises, the voices run through your mind. There won't be as many of them. And you will make a deeper and more positive impact in the world within you and the world around you. So I just want to encourage you all to stay in touch. Keep tuned in. This is the Isologic Radio Show and Patricia Cleveland. And we're easily found at the Balanced Horse Project. Or you can give me a call at 334-718-7806. And the other interesting thing is, if you email me, I read all the emails that are sent, and I'm here to help anybody with questions or problems with their animals or even themselves. I'm here to help open the door and bring natural regeneration and easier training processes to people who work with your animals or even for yourself at home. You can reach me also at bphcleveland, gmail.com. Oh, take a deep breath. Pull in. Pretend your heart is a sun. Let it beam through all the cells in your body. Be complete in who you are. Give yourself an energy hug and say, it's been a good day, and share your sunlight, your love, your energy with those who are special in your heart. And don't go and buy GMO foods if you can help it. I think it's time for us to start standing up and saying, enough is enough. Bye for now. It can happen to you.